Our scripture this morning comes from Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 2, and I've also added another one. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. And the second scripture reading, again, is from Romans, this time from chapter 12. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it carefully and cheerfully. I think these are words to live by for each of us. Well, on a Saturday morning not too long ago, a friend of mine and I, we always get together at the Circle Diner. And the topic of our discussion is one of those things that you'd never talk about. So we went ahead and talked about it. We talked about politics. And that's one of three things that you try to avoid: politics, sex, and religion. We were discussing the discordant cacophony of noise emanating from the cable television news networks. We were also talking about the blaring headlines that we read every day in our newspapers, portending a national and even global sense of gloom and doom. Now, by our third cup of coffee, we had concluded, just the two of us, that the culprit in all of this is leadership and the lack thereof. We felt that the four C's of leadership, which anybody can make up, but we chose consensus, compromise, civility, and cooperation. We felt that they're all suffering under a constant challenge, and they're sorely wounded. Not only the lack of leadership gave us pause, but also the lack of heroes and role models in our lives. Now, I sincerely believe that we have so diminished the importance and the contribution made by role models that we're fast becoming just a little bit rudderless. There seems to be an element in our society that works awfully hard to prove that some of our leaders, many of our leaders, our heroes and our role models do in fact have feet of clay. Anybody come to mind? My friend and me finally figured out that our contribution to the world's dilemma was to leave them unresolved. Finish our breakfast, pay the check, leave a handsome gratuity, and go on about our Saturday chores. But leaving the world's dilemmas behind at the Circle Diners that Saturday morning didn't stop me from thinking more about heroes and role models because, frankly, heroes and role models have always been very important major factors in my lives, and I think in all of our lives, helping to determine who and what we are and how we behave. I don't like to admit it, but I didn't learn all this stuff myself. I had help. Well, this morning I'd like to separate heroes from role models a bit because even while they have very similar characteristics, they are separate. They fill different needs. Simply put, I think heroes are, that's what we want to be. We want to be heroes. And role models is how we get there. So you need the two of them, I guess. If the plethora of action hero TV shows and movies that we see, the world seems to be dominated by Marvel comic books, after all, I guess somebody has figured out that we're starving for heroes and role models. Heroes, I find, are almost always larger than life. The earliest heroes back in Greek mythology had superhuman and often, most often, semi-divine characteristics. They were able to do things that no man could do. But they're man's creations. Man made them up. Man created them. They're part of man's story. They're part of man's storytelling needs to explain things. And they're somewhat artificial in that they're often idols and icons that are created by us to represent the qualities that we admire most and think are most important and the things that we would like to have. The ability to go over tall buildings with a single bound, all that good stuff. I think all of these things have a lot of value, but there's also room in here to be cautious about how we think about them and how we use them. I've sort of rewritten my own definition of heroes as someone who rises up from whatever their station may be in life or whatever their circumstances are, and they come to embody a representative of the highest level that a human being can attain. They exemplify ideas. How many of us remember Audie Murphy? He was a cowboy actor in the movies. Had a 21 career riding horses and shooting guns and doing away with the bad guys. But how many of us overlook the fact that Audie Murphy was in fact the most decorated soldier? He had all of the decorations that the United States Army could bestow on him in World War II, including the Medal of Honor. But I always think of Audie Murphy as a cowboy hero, not as a World War II hero. He also received the French and the Belgium Awards for heroism in his day. Too often, I believe that we choose to tear down our heroes just as fast as we build them up. And in these days, that holds true in today's heated political environment. You can be a hero on Monday and Tuesday, maybe not so much. We adore heroes. We elevate them to positions that no human being should ever be expected to maintain. And each of these heroes become sort of godlike in their own way. And then they tumble. Think of General David Petraeus. Think of Lance Armstrong. Think of Tiger Woods. Heroes Monday, the object of derision in the press on Tuesday. Their feet of clay were smashed for reasons that had nothing to do with the basis of their heroism. To me, the true heroes of life are those that sacrifice their own safety and well-being in order to save the needs of others, to serve the needs of others. They're grounded more in truth than in fiction. I remember when I was a kid in Newport, Delaware. We had a neighbor, a young man, his name was Bobby. And Bobby was the neighborhood ne'er-do-well. Try as he might, he just could not get it right. He was always in trouble. Well, one particular Christmas Eve, a fire broke out in one of the neighboring houses. Bobby raced in, barefoot and in his underwear, and saved a bedridden older woman from the fire. The consequences of his action, saving another person's life without giving it a lot of thought, was more important to him than any risk he thought he might suffer in the fire. It's bravery. I think it's heroism. I also remember my friend Jerry, Jerry was married to his childhood sweetheart, Anita. Anita suffered from MS. And Jerry was her caregiver, doing everything for her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Doing things for his bride that she couldn't do for herself. And as she neared the end of her life, there were fewer and fewer things that she could do for herself. And without a break, without a complaint, without whimpering or ever feeling sorry for him, Jerry did all of this, caring for Anita, even while he himself suffered and died from leukemia. But he put himself out there. He did it. And I can remember somebody saying, "Jerry, you must be relieved now that you don't have to care for Anita." And Jerry's response was, "Not true. I loved her then, I love her now, and I'll always miss her." He was a role model. And I remember Bobby and Jerry and Audie for what they really were and for the gifts that they shared with all of us. Heroes are often the stuff of fables and myths, often they're romantic fabrications, and at the same time, they're very, very real. We read about them frequently when we watch Channel 12 news. We read about them in the Connecticut Post now and again. CNN honors them every year. They may not always be the lead story in the news, but you'll find them somewhere in the back pages. Knowing that there are, in fact, real-life heroes among us every day just reminds me that there is a God, and He's working for all of us all the time. One of my own personal heroes in life was Richard Brady. Richard Brady was Reverend Brady, a Methodist minister in Wilmington, Delaware. Before he was a minister, he worked as a steam fitter, a hard, hard job. Then he contracted polio. And while Richard Brady was in an iron lung machine, he did what a lot of us do. He made a deal with God. And he asked God, if you will deliver me from this iron lung, I'll give you my life in return. So he went into the ministry. And eventually Richard Brady, Reverend Brady, was able to walk, but only with the aid of those heavy braces that we associate Franklin Roosevelt with. I watched Richard Brady over the years build his church, piece by piece, board by board, by himself. Never asked for help. Richard Brady did more with his braces than most people did without. For me, he took me under his wing when I graduated from high school. And Richard Brady was the guy who convinced me to go to college. Now, at this point in my life, I had no interest in college. And truth be told, I had very little interest in anything else. I was a poor, very poor student in high school. I was always getting in trouble. Richard Brady encouraged me to try to become more than I ever thought that I could be. He was a turning point in my life, and I remember him with love and with gratitude. And maybe 75 years later, he gives me hope. Even today. Between heroes and role models, I think role models, at least to me, are probably more important. Although each stands alone and each works well with the other, I think we depend on role models more than we do heroes. Role models are, in fact, just what the name implies. The actor, the role the actor plays. Roles created by an infinite number of authors in 1,000 different situations. Throughout our lives, we all play a number of roles, and we're better at some, we have more expertise with some than others. Some of the role models that we play are assigned to us by life, and some of them are purely accidental. And I can assure you, you will not find them listed on the yellow pages or categorized on Google. But I invite you to look around. Your role model is probably sitting right beside you. You and I are role models. We may not know it, we may not want to admit it. And we have to take our role models in life seriously, because this is a serious game we're playing. One way or another, each of us finds a wonderful way to influence the lives around us, particularly the young. Being a role model for the young these days is pretty serious stuff. And I do think this church does a wonderful, wonderful job. Charles Kettering, who was the research giant at General Motors, suggested that we live in such a way that if anybody ever speaks badly of us, no one would believe it. He also said that every father should remember that one day his son will follow his example instead of his advice. Mark Twain famously said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished how much the old man had learned in 7 years." Our role models from birth are our parents, particularly our mothers. They're the teachers. And I think teachers should always be spelled with a capital T. They're the nurturers. And for a time at least, they give us the discipline that we need as an essential part of our continuing journey of growth and development. But there comes a time when the demand and the reliance on parental role modeling, how should I say it, it lessens, it diminishes just a little bit, and we find that it's no longer father who knows best. The children know best, or at least they say so. And if we're lucky, there may be a moment or an opportunity, then we find that each of us has a gift worth giving. Sometimes I find that awfully hard to learn. We see that others can and do benefit from our experience and our knowledge. We learn that our experience, our strength, and our hope, however hard won, has meaningful value to others. Just realizing and admitting that we have a gift worth giving isn't for the timid and the reticent. Doing with something with the tools, the gifts that we have available to us, that's a story by itself. In Texas, not too many years ago, there was a lady known to some as Ann R. Ann R. said once, "I believe in recovery. And I believe that as a role model, I have the responsibility to let young people know that you can make a mistake and come back from it." Words to live by. You probably remember her best as Ann Richards, the 2-time governor of Texas, who was not afraid to admit that she was a recovering alcoholic. Not afraid to admit that she had a gift worth giving, if you wanted it. And all you had to do was reach out. She was also the lady who told George Bush that he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Sometimes I think each of us has to admit that you have what I want, what I need. And I'm not talking about your money or your job. or your beautiful house down by the beach, or your wife, or your glimmering automobile. But I want your thoughtfulness and your wisdom and insight, your willingness to do all you can to overcome the many obstacles that sort of litter our path. Role models can and do change the course of our lives, sometimes for the better and sometimes for the worse. They show us what is possible, and they provide a pathway for change. So choose carefully when you choose heroes and role models. There's a lot at stake. And here are a couple of guidelines. You have to have a call for action in these sermons. There are a couple of guidelines for choosing positive role models. Choose someone whose values you admire. Don't glom onto the first role model that comes by. Think about it. Learn as much as you can about how your role model has succeeded. Look for role models in the various communities that you attend. Consider role models who have skills or traits that you'd like to develop. And seek a mix of male and female role models whenever possible. And don't ever put your role model or your hero on a pedestal. It's too easy for them to fall. The bottom line, I think, in all of this, if you're looking for a role model, there is one I can highly recommend without hesitation or equivocation. He is a friend. He is a man called Jesus. Amen.